Chapter 71. Stuffing and some egg sauce. Come, Cap'n Cuddle. Give yourself a little treat. Apostrophe apostrophe, no thankee, ma'am, apostrophe returned the captain very humbly. I'm sure you're out of sorts, and want to be stimulated, apostrophe said Mrs. McStinger. Why not have, for once in a way, a bottle of sherry wine? Apostrophe apostrophe, well, ma'am, apostrophe rejoined the captain, if you'd be so good as take a glass or two, I think I would try that. Would you do me the favor, ma'am, apostrophe said the captain, torn to pieces by his conscience, to accept a quarter's rent ahead? Apostrophe apostrophe, and why so, Cap'n Cuddle? Apostrophe apostrophe retorted Mrs. McStinger sharply, as the captain thought. The captain was frightened to dead, if you would ma'am, apostrophe he said with submission, it would oblige me. I can't keep my money very well. It pays itself out. I should take it kind if you'd comply. Apostrophe, well, Cap'n Cuddle, apostrophe said the unconscious McStinger, rubbing her hands, you can do as you please. It's not for me, with my family, to refuse, no more than it is to ask, and would you, ma'am, apostrophe said the captain, taking down the tin canister in which he kept his cash from the top shelf of the cupboard. Be so good as offer 18 pence apiece to the little family all round? If you could make it convenient, ma'am, to pass the word presently for them children to come forward, in a body, I should be glad to see em. These innocent McStingers were so many daggers to the captain's breast, when they appeared in a swarm, and tore them with the confiding trustfulness he so little deserved. The eye of Alexander McStinger, who had been his favorite, was insupportable to the captain. The voice of Juliana McStinger, who was the picture of her mother, made a coward of him. Cap'n Cuddle kept up appearances, nevertheless, tolerably well, and for an hour or two was very hardly used, and roughly handled by the young McStingers, who in their childish frolics, did a little damage also to the glazed hat, by sitting in it, two at a time, as in a nest, and drumming on the inside of the crown with their shoes. At length the captain sorrowfully dismissed them, taking leave of these cherubs with the poignant remorse and grief of a man who was going to execution. In the silence of night, the captain packed up his heavier property in a chest, which he locked, intending to leave it there, in all probability forever, but on the forlorn chance of one day finding a man sufficiently bold and desperate to come and ask for it. Of his lighter necessaries, the captain made a bundle, and disposed his plate about his person, ready for flight. At the hour of midnight, when Brig Plus was buried in slumber, and Mrs. McStinger was lulled in sweet oblivion, with her infants around her, the guilty captain, stealing down on tiptoe, in the dark, opened the door, closed it softly after him, and took to his heels, pursued by the image of Mrs. McStinger springing out of bed, and, regardless of costume, following, and bringing him back. Pursued also by a consciousness of his enormous crime, Cap'n Cuddle held on at a great pace, and allowed no grass to grow under his feet, between Brig Plus and the instrument maker's door. It opened when he knocked, for Rob was on the watch, and when it was bolted and locked behind him, Cap'n Cuddle felt comparatively safe. Whew! Apostrophe apostrophe cried the captain, looking round him. It's a breather. Apostrophe, nothing the matter, is there, Captain? Apostrophe apostrophe cried the gaping Rob. No, no. Apostrophe apostrophe said Cap'n Cuddle, after changing color, and listening to a passing footstep in the street. But mind ye, my lad, if any lady, except either of them two as you see t'other day, ever comes and asks for Cap'n Cuddle, be sure to report no person of that name known, nor never heard of here. Observe the mortars, will you? Apostrophe apostrophe, I'll take care, Captain, apostrophe returned Rob. You might say if you liked, apostrophe hesitated the captain, that you'd read in the paper, that a captain of that name was gone to Australia, emigrating, along with a whole ship's complement of people as had all swore never, to come back no more. Rob nodded his understanding of these instructions, and Captain Cuttle promising, to make a man of him, if he obeyed orders, dismissed him, yawning, to his bed under the counter, and went aloft to the chamber of Solomon Gills. What the captain suffered next day, whenever a bonnet passed, or how often he darted out of the shop to elude imaginary McStingers, and sought safety in the attic, cannot be told. But to avoid the fatigues attendant on this means of self-preservation, the captain curtained the glass door of communication between the shop and parlor, on the inside, fitted a key to it from the bunch that had been sent to him, and cut a small hole of espial in the wall. The advantage of this fortification is obvious. On a bonnet appearing, the captain instantly slipped into his garrison, locked himself up, and took a secret observation of the enemy. Finding it a false alarm, the captain instantly slipped out again. And the bonnets in the street were so very numerous, and alarms were so inseparable from their appearance, that the captain was almost incessantly slipping in and out all day long. Captain Cuttle found time, however, in the midst of this fatiguing service to inspect the stock, in connection with which he had the general idea very laborious to Rob, that too much friction could not be bestowed upon it, and that it could not be made too bright. He also ticketed a few attractive-looking articles at a venture, at prices ranging from 10 shillings to 50 pounds, and exposed them in the window to the great astonishment of the public. After effecting these improvements, Captain Cuttle, surrounded by the instruments, began to feel scientific, and looked up at the stars at night, through the skylight, when he was smoking his pipe in the little back parlor, before going to bed, as if he had established a kind of property in them. As a tradesman in the city too, he began to have an interest in the Lord Mayor, and the sheriffs, and in public companies, and felt bound to read the quotations of the funds every day, though he was unable to make out, on any principle of navigation, what the figures meant, and could have very well dispensed with the fractions. Florence, the captain waited on, with his strange news of Uncle Sol, immediately after taking possession of the midshipman, but she was away from home. So the captain sat himself down in his altered station of life, with no company but Rob the grinder, and losing count of time, as men do when great changes come upon them, thought musingly of Walter, and of Solomon Gills, and even of Mrs. McStinger herself, as among the things that had been. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.